This is a CKGI podcast on FM 98.7 from Gabriola Island, British Columbia. I am Michael Mehta, and you're listening to Arrhythmia, topics that will make your heart skip a beat, or at least just flutter a little. Arrhythmia is a CKGI production that tracks the heartbeat of Gabriola Island. The show deals with current affairs issues in a provocative way and believes firmly that sacred cows make the best hamburgers. Welcome to this episode of Arrhythmia, where we talk about the B word. On March 20th, a special event organized by the Gabriola Museum provided Islanders with a chance to yet again discuss the history, philosophy, and engineering options associated with building a fixed link connection between Gabriola Island and Vancouver Island. As most of you undoubtedly know, the idea of a bridge, or perhaps even a tunnel, is likely the most divisive and polarizing issue of our community. In many circles, it has become a taboo topic and a litmus test for assessing friend or foe. The evening began with an interesting historical review of the topic by Ivan Bulik, who illustrated how this conversation has roots that can be traced back to the 1870s. Islanders Randy Young, Susan Yates, and Diane Dunsmore Farley then squared off to debate the pros and cons of building a fixed link. And it is CKGI's honor to be able to bring this to the thousands of Islanders who were unable to make the event. Here's the main event, and we start with opening comments by Randy Young.
The reason for a bridge to the mainland is to save money and time. But if the cost of a trip was way more than the cost of going on a ferry, nobody would go on a bridge, and the bridge would just sit there, but you'd pay taxes for it. But the issue really is how much it's going to cost, what the dollar value is on any bridge at all. I'm glad the tunnel was brought up. I forgot to do all of the research on it, but it sort of is breaking even, but there is a lot of government money in that. And I think what's happening is that lately people in the government have sort of had said, hey, you want something, you pay for it. And they have been sort of reluctant to go and fish out great amounts of money for other things. The first thing I thought of was the Confederation Bridge. And that's really neat. We drove over it once, and it's great, except if you're in a car, you can't see nothing because there's a big wall on the side. But it's 12.9K long. It cost $1.3 billion in 1997. That would be $3 billion today in construction inflation. Construction has gone up much more expensively than your cost of carrots and stuff. So fares are presently $45. Somebody else said $44.75, so I'll just round it to $45, you know, what the heck. If you go in down Vancouver Island and try to find a way to get from Vancouver Island to Ladner without going through the U.S., the closest is about 40K, you know, all the way across from Vancouver Island, stopping at the Gulf Islands. Because the Gulf Islanders, as you know, would likely make sure that nobody could go across their island. You'd have to go around the island with a bridge. So if we were to do that, the equivalent fare for doing the Confederation Bridge would be about $140. That's just the start. The big problem is that the Confederation Bridge needed to have rocks underneath it. Gulf of Georgia is really deep. And the other little problem is that the Fraser River has been depositing sediment into the Gulf for ages. You've all got across on the ferry, and you look over the side, and you see blue water, and then you see this looks like a river of brown, and you say, ooh, I wonder if we're running into something. But it's the Fraser River, and the Fraser River dumps all that sediment, and the first earthquake we have, that sediment is going to sloosh down and cause a tidal wave, which is going to go over and hit Valdez and Galliano, which could be very unsettling. But it would also make a bridge rather difficult to, you can't put a bridge on a bunch of mud. I mean, it's just not going to work.
So we need a floating bridge, you guys. Okay, we're not beat yet. The guys down in Seattle have been very good at building floating bridges across their lake, their Lake Washington. Unfortunately, the first two sank, but that's a mere detail. Part of the floating bridge is really nice. It's sitting in Port Alberni, and it made a really nice jetty for, if you've ever been in Port Alberni, that jetty in Port Alberni is the remains of one of these bridges from Seattle. It's a beautiful thing. But they're redoing one bridge, but the pontoons started to crack, so they're filling the pontoons with glue. Now that bridge is sort of in the middle, but they won't tell you how much it's going to cost. I presume the cost of glue has gone up for some reason. But, they're doing another bridge, SR 520 Green Point, and if you work through the numbers, you'll find that we would have had to, for an equivalent bridge, we would be paying $360 for a car to go across the floating bridge to get from Vancouver Island. And I think that's nonsense. But not all bridges are going to be expensive. There are some bridges that are really good. The Crape Flower Bridge was budgeted at $13.2 million. It should be ready this year. We need two of them, one to Mudge and one over across Dodds Narrows. We need a marine height at Dodds, and we're laughing.
That was Randy Young with his opening remarks. Next up on tap was Diane Dunsmore Farley, and here's what she had to say.
So thank you, everybody. And first of all, just a shout out to the museum, because without the resources that they provide to this community, there's a lot of stuff about art history that we wouldn't know. And I know that firsthand, because when I did my master's, I relied on them. And Janet was my research buddy, and I really appreciate all the support I got from her. So I'd just like to also say that I really admire the enthusiasm and can-do attitude of engineers. This is one of them right here. And one of the things that I think we find ourselves doing when we're faced with challenges, like with our ferry system, is to look for all kinds of ideas that are outside the box. And so we often look at things that are grand and amazing and challenging, but we want to fix our problem. I want us, though, look at the whole question of the 100 years of looking for a solution that's called a bridge, and why over 100 years we have not seen a bridge, albeit we have the tiny little one replacing the isthmus that was connecting Pender to South Pender to North Pender. So I think there's a reason that we haven't seen this, and I'm not too sure exactly what it is. Cost does come to mind. But you see these proposals that we've looked at tonight are everything from very basic, get it done, to very grand or grandiose. And I think people would say, well, the time isn't right. But other people would say, well, maybe the time is right now. And I would ask you, if the time wasn't right then, why would it be right now? And I want to talk a bit about that. So I know that it is completely possible to build a bridge, and I guess you're probably getting the sense here that I'm not a big proponent of the bridge. You're quite right. It is possible to build a bridge. It is not a complex undertaking, and we simply have to do several things. We would have to expropriate land from individual landowners, create disturbances to adjoining neighbors' right of private enjoyment, disrupt native habitat, and possibly trample on some burial sites, and build the thing. That's the easiest part, is actually building the thing. This all raises the questions for me of who we are as a community. Are we a community that's willing to throw our neighbors under the bus for our own greater convenience? Or do the expectations of those who came here for the quiet enjoyment of the land mean nothing to us? Now, I assume that the majority of people who moved to Gabriola did so explicitly because it is an island. I mean, I know I did. But what does it mean to be an island? Well, in simple terms, of course, it means that we're surrounded by water. Of course, we would still be surrounded by water if we had a bridge, but we would no longer be an island. We would be a peninsula. And I always think of the notion of a castle with its moat around it. And as much as that sounds like a fairly elitist thought, there is something rather pleasantly elitist about being an island, in the sense that we are cut off from the rest of the world. And many of us found that a kind of attractive situation to find ourselves in.
It's kind of like being a gated community, but an inclusive one. You know, people who come here really want to be here. It's not like you have a dress code or you have to have a certain income level or anything else. But we are part of a community that's very clearly defined. And I think that is one of the things that attracted many people to come to this island. So I don't think of our islandness as being inclusive. It's just that people here want to be islanded. We don't hear people saying, I moved to Gabriola and gee, I really would like a bridge. If they wanted that, they would go somewhere that was connected with the bridge. I believe that our culture and our community have been built on the idea that we do with what we have and that we work together to solve the problems that we have in ways that make sense for us in our community. So what does a bridge signify? Well, it signifies, boy, that gavel's going somewhere there. A bridge signifies being a suburb of Nanaimo. Yes, we'll be able to get on and off the island easily and access services we don't have currently on Gabriola, but we'll also follow out the existing services on the island. Moreover, other people will be easily able to get to us. Now, that would be nice if it was just our family and friends, but it will be all kinds of other people, and some of them won't be people that we want to come. 1 minute, really fast. And finally, to the logical. Why would the province agree to build a bridge? And you saw the numbers that they were talking about for the main link across from Vancouver. It's extremely costly. Perhaps some would say, well, the province won't need to build it. We Gabrielan taxpayers will raise the capital, create a commission, and build a bridge. And I would like to go through two possible scenarios of what that might be, but I've got a funny sense that my minute is going to run out really, really quickly. So I'm going to leave that for my repost.
And that was Diane Donsmore-Farley. And the third debater for the night was Susan Yates. And here's what Susan had to say.
When I moved to Gabriola 31 years ago, I was not a committed nestophile. I was just a soon-to-be mother who thought that this island might be an affordable and ideal place to raise my children. A place where their father and I could teach them the names of all the plants and animals that shared their home, just as I had learned growing up on the West Coast. As I became accustomed to island life, meaning I adapted myself to my surroundings without imposing my own expectations or desires, I realized how very precious this island and the neighboring islands in the Salish Sea are. I soon learned that a unique form of local government called the Islands Trust helped to protect the fragile environment of this and other nearby islands, resting as they are between the metropolis of Vancouver and the rapidly growing capital region. It was not long before I was a committed and true island dweller, immersing myself in island ecology, lore, and politics. A half hour times two of ferry riding almost every day introduced me to my fellow islanders in a perfect way. If I wanted another conversation with someone, I could sit with them on the next run. If I didn't, I could read or just rest my eyes on the passing marine vista, content to let someone else transport me to my destination. I appreciate the fact that the ferry dock in Descanso Bay is barely visible once you're out of the bay. Ferries arrive at sea level and passengers disembarking must climb, gently or otherwise, and then they can notice the island's natural beauty rising from shoreline to forest, because the infrastructure of a ferry dock leaves most of the geology and topology intact. Talk of a bridge to and from Gabriola comes up every few years, but the idea is always repugnant to me. Why would anyone move to an island if they wanted to be a peninsula? When they arrived here, did they immediately wish they could change the most significant aspect of the island, or did that idea come about because of a growing dislike of the slower pace of marine transport and island life in general? I have wondered if bridge proponents want such a monumental change in the meaning of island because it would make their lives easier, or is it for personal gain? During some of the bridge discussions in the 1980s, there was talk of a bridge to Gabriola as the first step to connect all the islands to each other and to the mainland via a short ferry trip to Iona Island. Gabriola would then become a giant asphalt hub with paved spokes heading out in all directions. This gives bridge connections to our island an ominous significance. Whatever form a proposed bridge might take and whatever purpose it is supposed to serve, I know that I have seen enough monuments to technology and so-called progress to deter me from ever wanting them in a place that I care for and should be responsible for. Having followed the Blue Bridge debacle in Victoria for the last 3 years, I can't imagine that a similar-sized bridge from Gabriel to Nanaimo would result in a financial outcome that is any better. It is, however, the long-term environmental and social impacts of building any kind of bridge or fixed link between any of the islands in the Salish Sea that most concerns me. I am grateful for the Islands Trust policy statement, which applies to all of the islands under the jurisdiction of the Trust, wherein the Trust Council is committed to a policy that no island in the Trust area should be connected to Vancouver Island, the mainland, or another island by a bridge or tunnel, notwithstanding the existing bridge that connects the two penders. Let me now refer back to being a nessophile. This is a milder form of nessomania, a term coined by James Michener, who thought of himself as a nessomaniac after doing extensive research for his book, Hawaii. I will end this presentation by quoting from a book that is part of my permanent library at home. And it is this beautiful book with a beautiful illustration by our own Paul Grignon. Nessomania suggests a sense of security from living on land that is insulated and protected by encircling waters and a feeling of social self-sufficiency which comes from sharing a small space with clearly defined boundaries. I suspect that island living has to do with many things, but I'm sure it has to do with fairies.
You are listening to CKGI FM 98.7. on Gabriola Island with your host, Michael Mehta. We now return to the debate that occurred on March 20th, with the rebuttal section, starting first with Susan, then Diane, and then moving to Randy.
I'll be very, very quick. The only other thing that I would probably want to talk about right up front is that I really don't believe that a bridge, for whatever reason, is a way of dealing with the problem with BC ferries. I just feel that if we are going to deal with BC ferries, we don't go off and do something else. We are an island among many coastal communities who must act in solidarity to curtail the discriminating and very harsh treatment that we endure regarding our transportation system. We're all part of the same social contract where BC Ferry Corporation is supposed to provide equitable transportation to people who depend on ferries. So I'm really concerned that we go off on another tangent and say, oh, that's why we should build a bridge. And that's not the way we solve the ferry problem. I think they're apples and oranges.
I think the one thing that's apparent to me is that when communities feel cornered and they feel like they don't have any options, they start to cast about for anything that will work, anything that will make a difference. And the lack of provincial commitment to honoring their obligation to us in providing a ferry service has put us in that position. But I would really say now is the time, as Gabriolans and Islanders in general, to stand together to continue to make the case that the province honor its obligations to us to provide us with the service that we came here believing that we had. And that when I came here, the actual minister said, this new ferry system is going to be affordable, accessible, and it's going to be managed in an efficient way, and the costs are going to be contained. So I want to hold them to account for that. And what I don't want to see is our energy being diverted. And I guess the other thing that the other problem I have with a bridge is not that it's a bridge, other than the fact that I really don't think islands should be joined together by bridges because they're not islands. But even if the cost is $110 million to connect Gabriola via Mudge to Cedar or wherever, that's $110 million of our money that we will spend on a bridge while continuing to support the remaining ferry services. And then what are the other islands going to say? Well, then we need bridges too. Who do we think? I mean, do we think the province is just going to start chucking around $110 million here and there? And if they are, I would rather that they put it into education and health care and child care, because those things will actually pay us back in ways that we can't even imagine. Thank you.
I hate to do this, but I think we have to return to reality just slightly. We have beaten our head against BC ferries for so many years, I can't even think of it. To the bridge that we were proposing is two lanes. It's not this gargantuan thing that will be a stepping stone. The whole program, from my engineering friends, is estimated at $50 million. If we continue to pay the same amount we're paying now for the ferry, it would be paid off in 7 years. We have been looking at a massive deflation in our property taxes. Property taxes going down, but the value of our properties have been going down. And sooner or later, we're going to be losing a lot of money. It would look like I'm getting the assessment changes for Gabriola area. I haven't got them yet, but I'll publish them when I get them. And I'm expecting a loss of something like $125 million in all of our pockets, because we do not have an effective ferry system. A bridge might return that. I feel that if we look at how Yellow Point lives, I think it's rural, it's peaceful. I don't see a big difference between that community and our community, as a matter of fact. What might be really fun is that if you had Gertie being able to run to Nanaimo, and they managed to go via the Duke Point Ferry, which is not too far off the course there, you could go to Vancouver by getting onto Gertie here and getting onto the Duke Point Ferry. And I think a whole mess of people from Vancouver might want to get to Nanaimo via that link. So Gertie would be running just about full if you had to manage a method of getting down there. We have, and I have to agree with Susan, the idea of being an island is important. And the idea of being secure, in a form of secured, gated community is fine. But the way we're doing it at this point in time is, unfortunately, I think, driving the younger people off. We have the ability to get retired people. Most people are retirees, and I suggest that we have the majority of people this evening are retirees as well. Not all, but it is becoming very, very expensive for a young family to be able to live on Gabriola. You can't get a job anymore. Places going through a severe disinflation. And the Isle of the Arts was a great idea. It's a perfect thing. We need originality in the people. I don't see that happening at this particular time, because partly because of our building regulations, but mostly because of the conditions of not being able to get a job and commute to a job.
So Randy has asked me to be realistic here, so I am going to be realistic. I'm going to just suggest that there's two scenarios. One is that the province agrees to build us a bridge, or we build a bridge ourselves. So let's just investigate what these two scenarios look like. Assuming the province invests in building the bridge, we'll be faced with several political consequences. First, they're going to have to find the capital to build it, either taxpayer-funded or public-private partnership, and they will have to maintain it, i.e. tolls. They might be faced with demands from other islands to have the same treatment. Salt Spring, Thetis, Cooper, Denman, Quadra all come to mind, particularly in view of the fact that the costs for their ferry service will have become even more unaffordable with the break-even Gabriola run taken out of the mix. Have to turn the page here. They will have further undermined the viability of BC Ferries, which they said was going to be this viable ferry service, by eliminating one route which comes closest to breaking even, either raising the rates exponentially on the remaining routes or providing an even larger subsidy to BC Ferries. So now, Gabriolans will be tolled for the bridge, taxed for the other ferry routes they infrequently use and which have become even more unviable. The traffic to and from Gabriola will increase exponentially. Clearly, our narrow country roads, which already suffer from dangerous stretches, will have to be widened. Another tax increase. In scenario two, we build the bridge. First comes the question of who the we is. Is this all Gabriolans, third-party financiers, or some mix? In this scenario, Gabriolans become responsible for all the costs through taxation and tolls, While our daily costs go down, the difference between ferry fares and tolls, our property taxes go up. We will continue to be taxed for our poorly managed BC ferries, even though we are no longer directly served by them. Politically, we are no longer sovereign. We exist as Gabriola in name only. We are de facto a suburb of Nanaimo. In either scenario, the net result will be increased property values attended by increased property taxes, reduced access to local services, local I mean on Gabriola, and the resulting need to use the bridge more often, i.e. tolls will be cumulative. Increased provincial taxes we will get to pay for both the bridge and the remainder of the ferry service and the necessary road improvements on Gabriola, environmental degradation, loss of privacy, and increased traffic and crime. I don't think it's a great deal. I think that's pretty realistic. Thank you.
I'll try to be practical as well. Couple things. Randy, you mentioned that it looked pretty good over in Yellow Point and it was, you know, nice and rural. If there's a bridge connecting over Mudge Island from Gabriola, guess where it's gonna go? And those Yellow Point happy rural people are not gonna be very happy with us. But that aside, I'm really concerned about things like global warming, and the two most practical, efficient, and least polluting kinds of transportation in the world are marine and rail. The more cars you get driving over a bridge, the more pollution you're going to have, the more oil we're going to need. It's just bad. The other thing I'd like to point out is that I'm still concerned that we are not focusing on demanding from our provincial government fair and equitable transportation treatment. If the user pay logic applied, as the government is trying to make us do, pay double. We already pay taxes, and then we pay these obscene prices at the ferry toll booth. If that user pay logic applied, then when they built that island highway, people in Campbell River should have been charged about $10,000 each to renew their driver's license. I'm not kidding. That's what the figures said at the time. It's just that we accept it. We always accept the fact that, well, we live in a special place, we need to pay extra. Yes, we live in a special place, and it's up to us to look after this special place. And it's up to us as taxpayers in this province to demand that we get fair treatment.
And that was our bridge debate that occurred on March 20th here at our own Aggie Hall. Thank you very much for listening to CKGI FM 98.7 Gabriola Co-op Radio and on the internet at ckgi.ca.